Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on essential oils when we come back. You know, we Americans may hold the dubious honor of being the most litigious people in the world, but when it comes to law, we seem to be among the most ignorant. Today, most Americans feel powerless to resist the evils that they see perpetrated against our liberties, our privacy, and our property by these powerful government agencies, the multinational corporations, these lobbies, and the news media. But you know, we don't have to remain helpless. The institution which was designed by God and incorporated into our Constitution and Bill of Rights is called the judicial power. The courts are the proper repository for the protection of our rights, liberties, and property. It's not the Congress or the political process. Now, did you know that the privilege against self-incrimination is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor to the person who is ignorant of his rights? It's not afforded to one who is indifferent thereto, because it is a fighting clause, and its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It cannot be claimed by your attorney or your solicitor, and it is valid only when insisted upon by you, the belligerent claimant in person, so says United States versus Johnson. And that's why I contend that we should listen more to the judges and listen less to the politicians and the lawyers. Now, did you hear what that judge said in that statement? He said, your rights cannot be claimed by your attorney or by your solicitor. Your rights can only be claimed by you, the belligerent claimant in person. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure is available on compact disc for adult home education, and if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. All right, last time we were talking about how and why these healing oils can heal your body. You know, today, if I told you that you should put on oil of clove or peppermint oil or some concoction made up of aromatic oils, you know, you'd look at me and you'd say, well, what are you, some kind of a witch doctor? That isn't scientific. Why, I believe in allopathic medicine because of science, because it's rooted in and it's founded upon the rock of science. I don't think so. I think that allopathic medicine is voodoo and witch doctor medicine. And that the real science in medicine, that is, in the healing of diseases, comes from the Bible and comes from God. And that has to do with the laying on of hands and the anointing with oil. And it's oftentimes referred to as holy anointing oil. Well, a fellow by the name of David Stewart, he's a PhD, so you know he's smart. He's got a piled higher and deeper behind his name. David Stewart went into the Bible and he found that there are 33 essential oils listed there. Then he went on and he discovered that there are 1,035 oils that are referenced in the Bible. And then he took a look at the usages in the Bible of how these oils have been applied in the past, both from the scripture and from secular sources, and he wrote two books. One of them is called The Healing Oils of the Bible, which we are reviewing. And I rated it a 1 in 100 read. And he wrote a second book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils. Now, if you want to see the science of these oils, it's in the book The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple, written by David Stewart. And you can get a copy of the books. And it comes from Care Publications, RR4, Rural Route 4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. Now, if you don't want to send, if you don't want to write to the guy, why don't you call him on the phone? They got a phone number. It's 573-238-4846. That's what I like to do. Call the guy on the phone, say, hey, Charlie. Oh, and this guy's name is David. So, hey, Dave. What's the price of these books? Well, Gordon says that they're pretty good. Oh, here it is right here. Price, $49.95. $50. $50. 850 pages. Let's see how many dollars that is. If you had 5,000 pennies, $50 divided by 850, that's 6 cents a page. 6 cents a page. Every page in here has science dripping off of the four corners of it. 6 cents a page. Worth every penny. The other book called Healing Oils of the Bible, David Stewart over here, same address, same phone number. Again, 573-238-4846. If you want to see the science behind the healing oils of the Bible, here are the two books that propose and demonstrate it. Now, I was up to page 29 last time. How and why oils can heal. And he showed us that the problem that we have with antibiotics and pharmaceuticals is that they're indiscriminate. You know, when you get cut, burned, and poisoned, that is, when you take chemotherapy, it just kills everything that's around it. Radiation just kills. But the healing oils don't. They target their victims. And God has designed these 100-plus healing oils. Or aromatic oils, they're called, for the express purpose of killing, destroying free radicals, as we learned in the last program. And as we progress along through the books, you find that it targets cancer. It targets various and sundry diseases. In fact, one of them we discovered last time, which is called oil of cloves, has over 10 million units in it. And there's a standard that's set up by our government. And after all, if you can't trust your government, who can you trust? And we find that this oil of clove, 1 ounce of it, has as much healing power in it, has as much nutrient, has as much of the critical chemicals in here called the anti-radical formula or whatever it is that kills these or destroys these anti-radicals, has more than 400 pounds of carrots. I mean, you'd have to sit here and eat 400 pounds of carrots to get the same food value out of it as 1 ounce of this oil of cloves. And this stuff is so powerful, you don't use it by the ounce, you use it by the drop. All you need is a couple of drops on your skin, rub it in, and forget it. Now, how come medical science ain't figured that out now? Have figured that one out yet? Huh? I don't think there's very much money in it. I think there's more money in operations. I think there's more money in cardiovascular disease and cancer than there is in cures. I mean, after all, if you had cancer and you could rub on some oil on your skin and the cancer went away, what in the hell would you need a $500 billion a year industry for? So how and why oils can heal? There's a word here called monoterpenes. Monoterpenes. Now, these monoterpenes are compounds of two isoprene units, which is 10 carbon atoms and 16 hydrogen atoms per molecule. Molecular weight, 136 AMUs. There are an estimated 2,000 varieties of these monoterpenes. Monoterpenes are found in most essential oils. Galbanum, 80%, Angelica, 73%, Hyssop, 70%, Rose of Sharon, 54%, peppermint 45%, juniper 42%, frankincense 40%, spruce 38%, pine 30%, cypress 28%, and myrtle 25%. Monoterpenes. While offering a variety of healing properties, the most important ability of these monoterpenes is that they can reprogram miswritten information in the cellular memory, that is, the DNA, which will then restore God's image, God's message, as we see in Genesis 1, verse 26. With improper coding in cellular memory, cells malfunction and diseases result, including lethal diseases such as cancer. Cancer. Now, I've talked about cancer in the past, and I've shown you how that there are 10 cures to cancer. 10. We may have to add number 11, called essential oils. Now, there's another big word here called sesquiterpenes, S-E-S-Q-U-I-T-E-R-P-E-N-E-S. Sesquiterpenes are compounds of three isoprene units, which is 15 carbons and 24 hydrogens per molecule. The molecular weight, 204 AMUs. There are more than 10,000 kinds of sesquiterpenes. Sesquiterpenes are the principal constituents of cedarwood, 98%, vetiver, 97%, spikenard, 93%, sandalwood, aloes, 90%, black pepper, 74%, patchouli, 71%, myrrh, 62%, and ginger, 59%. They're also found in galbanum, anacha, and frankincense, about 8%. Sesquiterpene molecules deliver oxygen molecules to cells, like hemoglobin does in the blood. Sesquiterpenes can also erase or deprogram miswritten codes in cellular memory. Sesquiterpenes are thought to be especially effective in fighting cancer. The root problem with a cancer cell is that it contains misinformation, and sesquiterpenes can dilute that garbled information. And at the same time, the oxygen carried by sesquiterpene molecules creates an environment where cancer cells cannot reproduce. Hence, sesquiterpenes deliver cancer cells a double punch, one that disables their coded misbehavior, and a second that stops their growth. Healing oils of the Bible. How and why oils can heal. We're not talking about religion and turning around three times and throwing bat's knuckles or shaking bat's knuckles under the full moon. We're talking about science here, kids. Now, the American Medical Association, also commonly known as the AMA, has said that if they could find an agent that would pass the blood-brain barrier, they would be able to find cures for ailments such as Lou Gehrig's disease, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, and Parkinson's disease. Such agents already exist, kids, and they have been available since biblical times. And the agents, of course, are essential oils, particularly those essential oils containing the brain oxygenating molecules of sesquiterpenes. Now, the big triple punch combination of the PMS, phenylpropanoids, monoterpenes, and sesquiterpenes, found in essential oils, is probably one of the major aspects responsible for the therapeutic power familiar to essential oil users. Many oils containing PMS have been found to be useful in addressing many illnesses or many injuries and disease conditions. One hypothesis is that this combination offers the following actions. First of all, these essential oils cleanse the receptor sites. Phenols and phenylpropanoids can act to clean receptor sites on the surfaces of cells. This allows the proper transfer of hormones, peptides, neurotransmitters, steroids, and other intracellular messengers. Second, deprogram the bad information. The sesquiterpenes seem to work at a subcellular level by affecting membrane fluidity and facilitating oxygen transfer. Sesquiterpenes may also affect transport of material inside of the cell. This allows for access to DNA and RNA, which may offer a scientific basis for the deprogramming or erasing of the incorrect information from cellular memory, often referred to in holistic healing circles. And then third, reprogram the correct information. Monoterpenes, working at both the subcellular and the intracellular levels, protect against free radical damage, and they work within cells to produce properly programmed strands of RNA and DNA. This helps ensure proper cell-to-cell communication and maintain healthy bodily functions. Many refer to this as reprogramming of cells. These three classes of chemical components may be why essential oils sometimes affect a healing that is nearly instant and also permanent. What they do is to restore the body back to its natural state of balance and health at the most basic and fundamental level within the cells. The generational curses mentioned in the Bible that we read in Exodus 20 verse 5, Exodus 34 verse 7, and Numbers 14 verse 18, and Deuteronomy 5 verse 9, that come to us through the genes of our parents, are not immutable, and they are not incurable, as modern medical doctors believe. These inherited conditions can be reprogrammed in the DNA by the actions of essential oils combined with laying on of hands and prayerful intent. The biblical oils all contain some, if not all, of these constituents, and this is one secret to their amazing healing abilities. Science will, in time, produce additional clarification of these processes, but this is our understanding at this time. So there you have it in a nutshell. The way the blood-brain barrier works and the biochemistry of one of the ways that essential oils can help achieve that healing. For more on PMS anointing, see The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple, mentioned at the end of this book. And I've already made that mention. There are two books that you need. One is called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple, David Stewart, and the other that I am reviewing is called The Healing Oils of the Bible. Now, there's another dimension to the healing powers of essential oils, and this has to do with their electrical properties. All of these essential oils carry electrical charges, usually electrons or negative ions, which are healing and helpful. They're also energetic, generating nanovolts of electricity. That's called billionths of a volt, or megahertz frequencies, that's in the radio frequency range, or millions of cycles per second. These frequencies are measurable with properly designed instrumentation. Bruce Tenio of Tenio Technology in Cheney, Washington, has developed sensitive frequency meters to measure such energies. And in a series of experiments conducted by Tenio, reported in the reference guide to essential oils published by Abundant Health, here's what he found. The frequencies of essential oils are between 52 and 320 megahertz, the highest of all known substances. The highest is rose oil at 320 megahertz. Lower frequency oils resonate with the bodily systems that have those frequencies, such as the bones and the joints, and thus administer healing vibrations to those systems. When several oils are blended together, a fundamental frequency will emerge that may be higher or lower than many of its components. By comparison, fresh herbs measure 20 to 27 megahertz, dry herbs 12 to 22 megahertz, and fresh produce 5 to 10 megahertz. Processed or canned foods measure zero. In other words, there is no life or life force in canned or processed foods. These canned or processed foods contain chemical nutrition, but not the vital electronic nutrition that we find in live fresh foods. Measurements on the human body found that a healthy person has a frequency of around 62 to 68 megahertz. When a person's frequency dips to 58 megahertz, cold symptoms manifest. Flu symptoms start at 57 megahertz. Candida at 55 megahertz. Epstein-Barr syndrome at 52 megahertz. And cancer begins when the body falls below 42 megahertz. The process of dying begins at 25 megahertz and it goes to zero at death. In other experiments by Tenio, he measured the effects of coffee, finding that even holding a cup of coffee lowers your bodily frequency by 8 megahertz, and that taking a sip of that coffee will lower your frequency by 14 megahertz. When essential oils are inhaled, following the exposure to coffee, the bodily frequencies restore themselves in less than 60 seconds. But if no oils are administered, it can take up to 3 days for your body to recover from one drink, one sip of coffee. Frequency data are not yet available on most oils. Then the table that follows gives a sample of electromagnetic frequencies for a few of these oils for which such measurements have been made and published. You can see the reference guide to essential oils published by Abundant Health. Here are some sample electromagnetic frequencies of selected oils. Rose oil, 320 megahertz. Here's one here I've never seen before. Helichrysum. Helichrysum, 181 megahertz. Ravensara, 134 megahertz. Lavender, 118. Blue tansy, 105. German chamomile, 105. Melissa, 102. Juniper, 98. Angelica, 85. Peppermint, 78. Galbanum, 56. And basil, 52. Now, one of the most important healing modalities of the oils is their ability to lift our bodily frequencies to levels where disease cannot exist. Now, let's take a look at the power of prayer. Tenio also found that the frequencies of oils are also affected by thoughts. Negative thoughts lowered the frequencies of the oils by 12 megahertz, while positive thoughts raised them by 10 megahertz. Prayer made an even greater difference, raising the frequency levels by 15 megahertz. Now, this is important information. It has always been known that applying and receiving essential oils in an attitude of prayer greatly enhances their effectiveness. Now, the above data offer a scientific explanation as to why it does that. The point here is that biblical application of essential oils was always done in biblical times in the Bible with prayer. Sometimes prayer alone will work, and sometimes oils alone will work, but the combination is even more powerful indeed. The intent and the righteousness of the person applying the oil, as well as the faith of the receiver, has a great deal to do with the prognosis for success in healing. We must not only be intelligent and loving practitioners of aromatherapy, but we must also live pure lives so that we may be clear channels for God's healing power. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 13, Moses comments that God will bless the oil of a righteous person. Science has now found that this is literally true. Now, there are six ways that essential oils support us. First, they are fighters against unfriendly microbes. Second, they are balancers of bodily functions. Third, they raise our bodily frequencies. Four, they are antioxidants that purify our bodily systems. Five, they are clearers of negative emotional baggage. And six, they are uplifters of spiritual awareness. In these six ways, these healing oils of the Bible accomplish their work by the innate therapeutic powers with which God has endowed them. But their greatest effectiveness is in the combination that they go with prayer, with which they are intended to be used. Now, if you would like more information on anointing with oils for healing combined with prayer, as well as a thorough discussion of the science and individual properties of essential oils, see Healing Oils, Healing Hands by Linda L. Smith, a registered nurse. Now, oftentimes I have talked to people and I've heard stories and read in Reader's Digest. You know, people will go to the hospital and somebody comes in and they pray over people. And the people just kind of get miraculously healed. Prayer will raise your body's megahertz level, frequency level, by 15 points. 15. Combined with these oils now, it'll raise it even higher. Now remember, when you get down to 42, cancer. So you people that are suffering from cancer, your body's megahertz are operating in that something below 42 level. Now remember, this guy wrote the book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. He is a PhD. This is a science textbook. This is a book that goes through the chemistry of these oils and then takes a look at the body's metabolism and says, okay, when God told you to use these oils, when the Bible talks about these oils, there's a scientific basis for it. His other book, the smaller one, called Healing Oils of the Bible, it's only a couple hundred pages. Let's see how many pages. No, it's a little bigger than that. It's 324 pages. 324 pages. It's in softback. Softback. Dynamite book. Remember, it's called The Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart. Now, I don't know where we got these books. I guess I ought to ask. And I suspect I got them down in Austin, Texas. The wife bought a bunch of these books from one of these bookstores. You know, one of these you're not supposed to go into this kind of bookstore because it's got all these bad books in it. And she bought a stack of books, and I think that probably that's where this came from. But you can get a copy from Care Publications, I'm pretty sure. Rural Route, that's RR4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. Now, the price is $50, $49.95. I'd suggest you call first because he's probably going to want you to pay him $5 to ship it to you. And the telephone number is 573-238-4846. Now that's 573-238-4846. Now, as you know, I rate books. I read a lot. And as we review books here at the law school, I don't read them all, but I read all the books that come to me that have been recommended. So Dirk, or Cole, or my wife Jackie will read a book and she'll say, wow, this is dynamite, I've never heard this before. Or I've heard of this and I've really never seen it explained before. And that's where I'm at. I've heard and I've read in the Bible where Jesus anointed somebody with oil, or he laid hands on somebody and he prayed and they were healed, sometimes instantly, but sometimes not. Sometimes it's over a period of time that these people were healed. And then in the New Testament, you'll see where Paul is going around and anointing people with oil. You know, that wasn't Pennzoil 30 weight, you know, that he was going around pouring on somebody's head and kind of rubbing it in, you know, for their dandruff. These essential oils mentioned in the scripture have a scientific basis, and this fellow, David Stewart, is explaining what that scientific basis is in his book, The Chemistry of Essential Oils. That's $50. Now, this other book over here, let me flip over here to the beginning. Let me see, maybe there's a price in there. He's got the name and address. And he's got the ISBN number. And he's got a bunch of other stuff in here, you know. Let's see here. I don't see any price here on this page. Just the Rural Route 4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri. I would guess if this big manual, 850 pages, is $50, I'd guess that this softback, see, this is hardcover, you know, this big one, this is a science textbook. I would guesstimate this one here at $20 or less, probably, you know, $13, $14, $15. Maybe it's 20. So if you paid $100 for these two books over here and you got the information, and I'm telling you, this guy is thorough. I showed you, in the program before last over here on page, I'm going to flip over to it. It's page 224 in it. Pretty sure it is. Hang on. I'm flipping. Page flipping here. It's called Appendix A, the catalog of Bible citations for essential oils and aromatic plants. And he goes through here and he says 262 citations, 140 citations, 240 citations, 42 books. He goes through 262 times, 33 species are mentioned in the Bible. He says that there are 240 times that this is mentioned, 1,035 of this and so on. I mean, this guy, you know, 1,035 references to essential oils and or plants that produced them in the Old Testament and New Testament. 642 citations are given in this appendix. I mean, you talk about thorough. I mean, this guy has gone through the Bible verse by verse. He's got every oil, every essential oil, every use, every laying on of hands, every prayer cataloged. I think this guy knows where the beer does it. So while we're thinking about that, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. So again, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, remember, we are reviewing a 1 in 100 pair of books written by David Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, David Stewart, Ph.D. You know the guy's smart. He's got a Ph.D. And he wrote two books, one here called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple, and the other one here is called The Healing Oils of the Bible. Now, in Chapter 3, I can't cover the whole book. I can't begin to cover all of the information covered, but I'm hitting the highlights. I'm going to cherry pick, and I'm going to cream it, and I'm going to tell you, hey, listen to this. I never read anything like this before. I've read the Bible a couple of times, and I saw Jesus laying on hands, and I saw some other guys anointing people with oil, but I never had any idea as to what this was. I thought it was Pennzoil 30 that they were anointing these people with. It wasn't. You remember when Jesus was being anointed, and he was just before the Passover, just before the last Passover, just before the crucifixion. And he was in this woman's house, and she came over and she anointed him with all of these expensive oils. These oils are a little pricey. There's one oil in here that costs $400. No, it was a little bit high. $350 an ounce. $350 an ounce. It's called rose oil. And it takes 10,000 roses to make 1 ounce of this oil. That's a guess why it's a little pricey. $350 for 1 ounce, this rose oil. Well, anyway, now, you remember Judas, he was a little critical of her. He said, hey, woman, how come you're putting all this expensive oil here on the Messiah? Well, he told him, he kind of upbraided him a little bit, and he says, hey, she's preparing me for my death. You know, she's getting ready for the burial. So butt out. And wherever the story is told, we're going to recite this here in the scripture in memory of this woman for this very purpose. These are those essential oils that are being spoken of in the Bible, being explained scientifically by David Stewart. Now, he has a chapter here, chapter 3, about atheistic medicine. I thought it was pretty good. It's called The Priesthood of Healing. In ancient cultures the world over, the healers of a society were also its priests, and with the advent of science a few centuries ago, men's faith in God began to be replaced by faith in science, in the belief that the scientific method could provide answers to all of life's questions. And with that development came the secular or atheistic medicine, which is what professional health care has become today. Atheistic medicine. Now, I'm not saying that doctors and nurses are all atheists, and I'm not saying that the textbooks of medicine and nursing are totally devoid of any acknowledgement of God as the ultimate and sole source of healing. Oftentimes, doctors say, well, it's in God's hands now. Prayer and God communion are not required disciplines, however, in medical or nursing schools anywhere, to my knowledge. And this then creates the false God of our times. And it's now apparent that the secularization of the healing arts has been a major error, leading to countless deaths and the destruction of personal wellness. While science has served us well in improving our standard of living and bringing us many advances in technology, people have grown to expect more from science than science can ever possibly deliver. It has become a false god. It has become the idol of modern civilization. The scientific method cannot touch the most important aspects of our existence, and it never will have the answers for life's most important questions. The worship of science is particularly manifest with modern medicine, in which people have come to place more faith in medicine than they have in God or Christ. This includes most church-going Christians, 65% of which go to church every Sunday. The book written by physician Robert S. Mendelsohn called Confessions of a Medical Heretic sums it up, listed in the bibliography, It describes how people have come to regard modern medicine with a faith that has been traditionally reserved for religion. Now, according to Mendelsohn, doctors are regarded as priests and hospitals are regarded as temples where medical miracles take place in response to the dispensing of holy waters. These holy waters are drugs, serums, and antibiotics. And in these temples, there is the performance of rituals and sacrifices. We call that surgery and radiation. And furthermore, the public is coerced into tithing to this healthcare system through their insurance and tax-supported medical programs, where the amount of the tithe is not a mere 10%. But it's 20, 30, 40, or 50% or more of these people's incomes. We read of the idols and the false gods of the Old Testament, and then we kind of smile because we see them for what they are, false gods. And then we possibly wonder how large numbers of intelligent people could have possibly believed in all of these inanimate objects like Buddha as having life and divinity. And it's hard to believe how these Old Testament idol worshippers could have placed so much of their faith, so much of their very lives, on such a transparently false basis. But you know, idols and false gods are just as abundant today as they ever were, and millions more bet their lives on these false gods every day. And the principal idol that most people worship today is allopathic medicine. It's Dr. Henry Rathbone, MD, which appears legitimate, and it appears very real, because it wears the mask of science. Now, there are cures to disease, and then there is the management of the symptoms. And according to Mendelsohn, today's system of health care is really not health, but rather sick care. Health is totally outside the domain of medicine. The best of medicine is emergency medicine, says Mendelsohn, who was an instructor, a medical school professor teaching young doctors in the medical school. When there's a real crisis to deal with, as for instance chronic disease and the common flus and colds, which represent about 95% of all of the conditions that people suffer from, modern medicine has no cures. They have treatments that never end, but there are no cures for the flu or the common cold. The hidden objective of today's medical profession is to generate as much repeat business as possible. The medical profession doesn't aim to cure. It's not part of the process. Cured people don't come back. Cured people are not repeat business, but the sick are. And it's only the sick that create repeat business. A healthy population is bad business for the medical profession. Now, I'm sure that if they were aware of cures, most physicians would probably prescribe them. But for most conditions, these medical doctors have no cures within the confines of their allopathic education and profession. They've got treatments galore, but not cures. Essential oils, which can lead to complete healing, are not even within their paradigm. Essential oils, which lead to complete healing, not just a treatment, but a cure, is not within allopathic medicine's paradigm. Now, in place of a cure, most doctors will just try to manage your sickness. If they follow the protocols and standards by which they're pledged to practice, they will eventually place you on a regimen of lifelong dependency and turn you into a lifelong source of income for themselves and the system they serve. It is a cash cow. And you are that cash cow. And doctors are also good at taking a simple issue and then escalating that simple issue into an acute problem through their intervention. Doctors can transform a simple condition into a life-threatening crisis. Then, they may not be able to correct minor ailments, but serious problems they can handle. Serious problems are a part and parcel with their training. And if you don't have a serious problem, your doctor can shortly create one. Now, when I was in medical school, an obstetrics professor once told a class of medical students, where I was present, that to him, normal behavior was boring, but doing a cesarean section surgery was really exciting. It makes your day, he said. As a result of such teachings and attitudes, 6 out of 7 cesareans today are totally unnecessary, and they do far more harm than good. Doctors love to practice heroic medicine. Dr. Mendelsohn likens these doctors who practice this heroic medicine to firemen fighting to rescue the perishing by putting out the fire that they themselves have started. Then, in the process, people die. They die unnecessarily. Survivors rarely realize or understand that the cause of their loved one's demise was the system from which they had sought help in the first place. Hippocrates, the father of physicians, required an oath of his students that started, "First, do no harm." That oath is not taken by physicians anymore. That oath, "First, do no harm," has not been a part of modern allopathic medicine for more than 50 years. A God-based medical system would do no harm. But pharmacies and pharmaceutically based systems, such as allopathic medicine, that has control over healthcare today, does a great deal of harm. And the numbers are staggering. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, it's called the CDCP, over the past decade, more than 2 million people are admitted to hospital emergency rooms every year suffering from adverse drug reactions from prescriptions or over-the-counter medications. More than 100,000 people die every year in the United States from properly administered prescriptive drugs. Got that, kids? 100,000 people a year die every year in the United States from drugs that are administered properly. Then, there's another 100,000 people that die in addition to those from improperly administered drugs and other medical mistakes. That's 200,000. Deaths caused by physicians are called iatrogenic diseases. Deaths due to hospital-caused factors are called nosocomial disease. The CDCP has a whole division for the tabulation and study of iatrogenic and nosocomial deaths and diseases. The July 2000 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association attributes 250,000 deaths a year to doctors and pharmaceuticals with prescription drugs as the third leading cause of death in the United States, and iatrogenic doctor mistakes as the eighth. This comes from www.mercola.com. Again, that's www.mercola.com. 250,000 iatrogenic fatalities per year is many times more than those who die from illegal drugs. Those who die from illegal drugs, such as cocaine, heroin, and marijuana, or methamphetamines, are about 6,000 per year. Now compare 6,000 from illegal drugs to 250,000 who die from legal drugs, hospitals, doctors, and clinics. Yet if a couple of dozen people die from street drugs in a month's time in a given area, that becomes national news. That's important. Yes, we do have an illegal drug problem in America, but it pales to insignificance when you compare it to the problem of legal medicine, which is legally administered. 250,000 iatrogenic deaths a year comes down to 5,000 deaths a week. Now that's the equivalent of a jumbo jet, a 747 or a DC-10, crashing every day, killing all of the passengers and crew. Even just one such crash is cause for national mourning, and such tragedies spawn news stories for weeks to follow and prompt immediate and thorough investigations and multiple millions of dollars of costs and investigations and studies. But nothing is ever said in the news about an even worse tragedy happening every week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, even though the U.S. Center for Disease Control routinely tabulates and publishes the damaging data. There are no federal or congressional investigations that lead to any alleviation of this problem. This is what atheistic medicine does to all of us. That's why I call it atheistic medicine. Now, how many people die from herbs and oils? Well, Dr. Kurt Schoenbelt, Ph.D., in his book Advanced Aromatherapy, states that the American Association of Poison Control Centers reported 809 fatal poisonings and 6,407 serious but non-fatal poisonings from conventional pharmaceuticals between 1988 and 1989. All right, you got that, children? Here in the United States, 809 people died from poisoning. 6,407 were poisoned but did not die between 1988 and 89. All right. Now, compare that to plant-based preparations. They caused 2 fatalities and 53 serious poisonings in the same time period. 809 came from the pharmaceuticals. 2 came from plants. The most dangerous plants were not medicinal plants. They were house plants and shrubs. And in the same time frame, there were no serious or fatal poisonings from essential oils. All right, so essential oils killed nobody. Of the plants that killed somebody, 2 people died from house plants that have nothing to do with medicine. How many people died from these essential oils? 0. 0. Now, according to a 2002 article entitled The Science of Deceit by Burton Goldberg, found on the webpage at www.alternativemedicine.com. Again, that's www.alternativemedicine.com. Mainstream media regularly reports on the dangers of unproven herbal remedies and supplements. But what is the reported number of people who have actually died from using herbs and supplements? Well, according to the FDA, in a 5-year period between 1993 and 1998, federal, state, and local agencies reported 184 deaths, most of which were associated with weight loss formulas such as Fen-Phen. As for deaths by essential oils, the only recorded cases appear to be in England, with only 5 or 6 instances in the last 100 years. Got that, kids? In 100 years. We haven't got any in the United States, but we found 5 in England. A couple of these fatal incidents involved unsupervised young children who managed to swallow an ounce or two of essential oil all at once. Other cases involved women seeking an abortion. They were seeking to abort their babies by drinking large quantities of wormwood or other strong essential oils, causing their own death as well as that of the fetus. There has never been a case recorded anywhere of anyone dying from an essential oil administered by a qualified aromatherapist or taking according to common sense precautions. Now, when you compare this with 200,000 plus people who die in America every year from physician-administered drugs and procedures during the same time period, 1993 to 98, when fewer than 200 deaths occurred from herbs and supplements. Almost a million people died from FDA-approved, properly prescribed, medicinally administered pharmaceuticals and medical procedures. Iatrogenia has become a leading cause of death in the United States, only slightly behind cancer and cardiovascular disease, the number one and number two killers in America. So why does the FDA and the AMA harass and inhibit those who market oils, herbs, and natural supplements that help heal people, keep them well, and exemplify the tradition of Hippocrates to first do no harm? At the same time, why do they endorse, finance, and then encourage those who market pharmaceuticals that do harm and that harm more than they heal and then which make us sick even unto death? Well, witchcraft is the root of modern medicine. And the U.S. government figures quoted in the previous paragraphs mean that the ordained guardians of our health kill twice as many people every week as died in the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks on the New World or the New York Trade Center and the Pentagon. But the news media won't report the scandal of deaths from legal drugs because their incomes are so greatly dependent upon the advertising revenues that come from the pharmaceutical companies. The Reverend Jim Lynn, in his book, The Miracle of Healing in Your Church Today, says it bluntly, "Medicine that heals is of God, and medicine that harms is of Satan, the devil." In other words, medicine that harms is from Satan, and modern medicine has been largely reduced to the administration of drugs, all of which have undesirable side effects, and sometimes those side effects are fatal. The roots of atheistic medicine are revealed in the roots of the word pharmaceutical. It comes from the Greek word pharmakeion, meaning to practice witchcraft, and the word pharmokon, meaning poison. And in Revelation 9:21, Revelation 18:23, and in Revelation 21:8, and Revelation 22:15, we find four references to sorcerers or sorcery, all of which have been translated from the Greek pharmakia, pharmakias, or pharmakos. It is the practice of witchcraft. All right, we are revealing the healing oils of the Bible by David Stewart, published by Care Publications. RR4, that's Rural Route 4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. The phone number there, 573-238-4846. Again, that's area code 573-238-4846. Two books. The first, The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple, $50. The Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart doesn't have a price, but I'm guessing 20 or less. Why don't you call and find out? Hey, we're running out of time. I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.